This is my commentary on the passage that I just read on page 183. It is the first couple of paragraphs of the book. And I basically chose this passage in section 1 because on second look it made a lot of the rest of the book make sense to me. Faulkner does not waste any time and engages the reader right away. The first line of the book is, "There was a man and a dog too this time." There's also an air of mystery in his prose. He immediately makes reference to what is to that that is taintless and incorruptible. We get a sense of the ancient, even timeless qualities of the wilderness that are at play throughout the passage and story. Something more ancient and enduring, something more substantial than the central characters, permeates the hunters. It's described as a wild, immortal spirit. This is further emphasized by the hunt being described as the ancient and unremitting contest according to the ancient and immitigable rules which voided all regret and brooked no quarter. I want to suggest that in that quote, we get a glimpse of the fragility of those ancient ways, but that's something I want to return to later. Early in the passage, we encounter the ideal, or at least part of the ideal human personality. It is something composed of a set of virtues that Faulkner is not only intent on naming, but repeating. These are, of course, humility, pity, courage, pride, and endurance, to name a few. These qualities are framed as something to be striven for, proving their worth in their mastery of oneself and temptation. Faulkner underscores these with repetition throughout the entire story. The old bear is said to embody these qualities and is described as not malevolent but big. He only kills when he needs to. He embodies those eternal honorable qualities. That honorableness is something independent of the fluctuation of moral fashions of a particular time. It is timeless and exists even before the story opens. Needless to say, Ike is a special boy. He is taintless, and Faulkner foreshadows the special relationship he has and will have with the wilderness and the lines he had already inherited then, without ever having seen it. It ran in his knowledge before he even saw the unaxed woods. This honorable quality permeates the wild and Ike, and its immortal nature is evident from the very beginning. However, not all men are special like Ike. Many men are also capable of the very opposite, and the relationship between man and wilderness seems an ominous one early on, and Faulkner mentions the doomed wilderness whose edges are punily gnawed at. Though these men here are depicted as small, both in body and mind, almost pettily destroying the land out of a fear of the strange wilderness. The yearly rendezvous that the men partake in is a ritual that embodies those ideals of character mentioned before. The hunt is a fight, but it is not a free-for-all. It is restrained by a set of conventions, rules, and respect. By participating in this ritual, our hero, Ike, is eventually baptized into the wild and accomplishes his moral liberation. I kind of saw the first three sections of the story as being about this liberation, and the second half really being essentially about how a properly inaugurated and baptized hero will act when confronted with evil. This baptism of sorts into the wilderness shapes Ike's character and how he behaves in section 4. In that section, Ike encounters incest and miscegenation in his family's ancestry. These for him represent an image of the evil condition of the South and of humanity at large from the beginning of time, and he will not compromise with this condition. This is a stance that takes courage and steadfastness. I read it as the ideal that Ike will live up to as being unforgiving and requiring great discipline. Going back to the quote mentioned before, this ideal is one that brooks no quarters and cannot exist partially. It is all or nothing. We get the feeling that it is the discipline that is so hard to maintain and why so many fail to attain it. In section 4, Cass repeatedly tries to convince Ike to take the inheritance, but he remains strong. Ike's journey on the whole I saw it as having a basic skeleton that many other mythic heroes have taken. The fourth section can be thought of as Ike's descent into a dark world, where he learns of his ancestry and sees how he must move into his future. However, this vision of the future would not be possible without the skills and virtues he acquired in the wilderness. There are also some biblical references which suggested to me that Ike sees his decision to repudiate the inheritance as an inevitable moral decision within the larger human history. In other mythic stories, this vision might come in the form of a prophecy. It is fitting that this sense of inevitability begins to gain momentum in the closing lines of section 3, and the quote reads, "It seemed to him that something, he didn't know what, was beginning, had already begun. It was like the last act on a set stage. It was the beginning of the end of something. He didn't know what, except that he would not grieve. He would be humble and proud that he had been found worthy to be part of it, or even just to see it too." In section 4, he's framed very much as a kind of redemptive savior. In this frame, or mindset, slavery can be thought of as the kind of original sin that humanity has committed. There's also a sense of the possibility of moral freedom in the new world. When reading this, I began to form an image in my mind of the wilderness as a kind of ethically undefined space. I mean here undefined in the sense that it did not yet occupy an explicit spot within the conventions of quote-unquote civilized life. I imagine that this is what the great frontier of America represented for a lot of people. It was a new, unspoiled area where a true, novel, moral freedom could be exercised, similar to the Garden of Eden. I read the wilderness to be, in a lot of ways, a second chance for humanity to make right, after the chance had been so completely mishandled by the evil of slavery. In section 4, Ike ponders how things went so wrong, and this was something that cheered me up a bit, but he concluded that the new world was not necessarily inherently evil, but that evil was brought into it by the first settlers, and the quote is, "as though the sailfuls of the old world's tainted wind which drove the ships." In a lot of ways, Ike is depicted as a somewhat innocent hero. From the first page of the story, we read that Ike is taintless, but he is not naive in the naive. He is not innocent in a naive sense. His innocence comes off as an achievement, a clean conscience that is the result of discipline and ritual submission. Examples of this submission are the morphing of power into charity that occurs several times. He relinquishes his tools in the forest to present himself in humility to the bear. The second time, he throws away his gun and risks his life in the charitable act of rescuing the little Fice. In these acts, there's no real loss of power that is affected, but rather these acts come into the control of moral understanding. It is important to remember that he never gives up his gun permanently, but uses it with restraint. In section 5, we are reminded that he is one of the greatest hunters in all the county.